Hey, everybody. Welcome to the Peanut Butter Promise Power Encouragement Podcast. My name is Steve.
I'm Charlene.
And I'm Dayton.
We're going to be talking about the seven virtues of the Peanut Butter Promise today, and one of them is kindness. And can I tell you a story, everybody? A couple years ago, Charlene and I were working on a project, and we went into this funeral home. And when we went in, we introduced ourselves, and I will never forget how firmly he shook my hands and looked into my eyes and giving attention to us. And then after about 2 minutes, when we explained what we were really there for, all of a sudden his expression changed a little bit. I wasn't quite feeling the love and the kindness because he thought we were Joe and Judy Johnson who had just lost grandma.
Oh. Yeah, okay. Yeah, yeah.
So, you know, sometimes people will treat us kind with a little different motive, and I'm not picking on him. I do the same thing 3-4 times a day probably. But we're going to talk about kindness today.
Okay. Kindness without a motive.
Yeah, kindness without a motive. Right, exactly. Right. What's the Peanut Butter Promise? It says that you were born with every talent, ability, and gift, just the right personality, necessary desire to fulfill a God-given purpose. The dreams and desires in your heart, the ones in agreement with that purpose, they're going to come true, just as peanut butter would meet jelly making a great sandwich. There are special people called Peanut Butter Promise Partners come into your life. Start looking for the Peanut Butter Promise Partners. Start identifying them, and it will enhance and enlighten your world. Seven virtues of the Peanut Butter Promise, kindness today. And Charlene, it doesn't cost any more to be kind to people, does it?
No, it does not. And as you read the seven seeds of service that I have there, I talk about my grandmother who does exude that meaning of kindness. And during the summer, we would plant her garden, you know, in the spring, we plant a garden. In the fall, we would harvest it. And at Christmas time, we would be baking Christmas cookies and dozens and dozens. And I remember the first year I was helping her, and she said, go down to the basement and get those boxes like we used during the harvest and fill them up, you know, with the different cookies. Well, what I was doing is at the harvest and at Christmas time, Grandma would have me take this big box down to the lady on the corner who was a divorced mom with five kids, and she would have me give her a box of cookies or a box of the vegetables. And the same thing would happen, the widow down the street and his son, you know, and the lady across the street who lived by herself, and especially the lady next door who wasn't as kind as all the other neighbors yeah. were to her. She was a lady who talked a lot and gossiped, and Grandma had heard a few things that were said about her, but she never let this lady know she knew that. And she would just still, she'd get the big box of the vegetables, and she'd get the big box of the cookies, and Grandma would put a nice card on there and wish her a Merry Christmas. And one day I asked Grandma, why do you do that? I mean, this lady is just not nice to you. And she said, I don't do it so she'll be nice to me.
Wow. That's a heck of a story. So why is it that I'm not always kind to everybody? Because there's stuff going on in me. I am a work in progress, okay? Like the Peanut Butter Promise, by the way, which is a progress, not perfection type of program. So kindness, be kind. Compassion. Talk to us about the virtue of compassion. Who do you know that's compassionate?
This one's close to home. Literally, my wife is one of the most compassionate people that I know. She has almost a sixth sense when it comes to others and their need. We've had foster kids in our home. She would bring home every animal in the world if she could. She just loves kids. She can find, she'll tell me, we'll be done talking to somebody, and she'll say, did you notice this? And I'll be like, no. She just can connect, and that compassion is unbelievable. I wish I could have a tenth of the compassion she does, because the world would be a much better place if there were more of my wife in the world.
Yeah, right. And I agree with that. We know Tracy and love her too. Compassion. Let me just talk about the power of the common experience, okay? My brother, Dale, your brother-in-law, he's a wonderful guy.
Oh, yes, he is.
And he gave his brother a kidney. Right. Okay, so when we hear about kidney transplants and stuff, we're like, whoa, we pay attention to that.
Right.
I had prostate cancer. Yes. Okay, so now I pay attention to people who have prostate cancer. It has given me a compassion. And I guess that's where we're going with this. When we can relate, that's probably what compassion. And even if you can't, we need to be more kind and whatever. Virtue of humility. My goodness. Is true success built on anything less than humility? And if it is, why is it so tough to be humble?
Right,
Right. You do it well, but why is it so tough? And I'll be serious now, for us to be humble sometimes. What is it?
You know, I think because, unfortunately, as humans, we are sinners and we are focused on ourselves more than others. And so to be humble is, it's almost counterintuitive.
Right.
And over the course of history, we've always had to look out for ourselves, to keep ourselves safe, to keep our families safe. And we kind of take that on our own shoulders instead of maybe relying on God and others to do that.
Right.
So suddenly it's me that's doing it. Yeah. I'm the one that's doing it.
Right.
Absolutely. Good point, Dayton. Charlene?
I recollect a story, another story of my grandma. When my grandfather had, he hadn't been diagnosed yet, but he had a brain injury and he needed to have surgery. And he had drove up to the front of their house. But while he was coming in the driveway, he drove up the curb and down. And while Grandma was standing on the porch with other people, they all began to laugh at him for the way he was driving and made fun of him and continued to mock him. And Grandma just sat there and listened to them. And when Grandpa got done parking the car in the driveway, Grandma slowly just walked down the steps and went to Grandpa, helped him out of the car, gave him a big kiss and a hug, and brought him in the house and never said a word. And I think about that, you know, she knew what they were saying about him. She didn't reprimand anybody, but she knew that that was something that you just did silently. She could have laughed along. She didn't do that. She could have just sat there and waited for him to come to her. You know, but she took the next step. There's a lot to that story, that humility, when you're humble, you stand out. You're like a sore thumb. You know, when people see humility, sometimes they see it as weakness, okay? Yeah. I've been accused of being weak at times when I've been humble, and I know that. But at the same time, pride stands out too, and it's kind of ugly. You know, when somebody's very prideful, like you said, they could brighten up a room if they left it. And that's the same thing.
Dayton, you're a computer guy. Do you know any way, me as a human being, you could set my settings to humility instead of just the default? I just default to pride. I just default to, hey, look at me. I mean, look, I put myself in the center of things here.
Right.
No, we all, you know, we all battle with that. And that is a human thing. And you talked about that. Let's talk about the virtue of forgiveness. Ooh, lots of people I need to ask forgiveness from. People that I need to forgive. Who wants to start the discussion on forgiveness, the importance of it, of not doing it, the importance of doing it? Let me pick you.
Me. Okay. Well, I did have an experience where I had to forgive somebody for something very serious that they had done to me. And I remember when the Lord laid it on my heart that I needed to go to them. And it was after I understood the forgiveness that Christ gave me at the cross. And so I was sitting with the Lord praying, and I said, you know what, God, I don't know if I can do this, you know, and he was prompting me in my spirit just to go to that person and ask them to forgive me. And I thought, forgive me? Yes, you hated them for what they did.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought, I did? Yeah, everything you did, everything you've said about it was hatred. And I thought, oh, that's not God, that's not his love, so I have to go to the person. And that was hard. Because the person, when I did go to them and I explained to them why I was there, never said they were sorry for what they did. And I never heard that person tell me they were sorry. But I'll tell you what, when I asked for forgiveness, I meant it. And I walked away, but I was light. I was lifted because of the fact that I went not expecting them to ask me to forgive them, but expecting them to forgive me for what I did. And it was a whole different display of forgiveness.
Yeah, but it's a great story.
Well, and that's really the truth behind forgiveness. The only person you're really hurting is yourself.
Right.
When you don't forgive somebody, a lot of times they don't even know they hurt you. They're off living their life and you're holding this grudge and it's eating away at you. And if you don't forgive them, the only person you're hurting is yourself.
And, you know, the other thing about forgiveness too is if somebody has done something to you, and they have hurt you, it's important that if they do try to come to you, that you allow them to admit their guilt and say they're sorry. Because I have people in my life that won't open a door to forgiveness. And because of that, it's hurting them, not me. I desire to go to them and be forgiven for what I've done, but they have hardened their hearts enough that they will not allow that. And that's the other side of forgiveness, you know, that to be forgiven, you must forgive. That's what the Word of God says. And if you want to be forgiven, you need to forgive others. And so my heart is always my bad. I need to tell people when it's my bad, and I have to be honest with that. Sometimes we don't come to terms with that right away, but when we do, it's important for us to tell the person we know our bad.
Yeah, amen. Five is the virtue of gratitude. And someone said, and I would agree, gratitude, a great attitude. And so many of these principles, laws, the powers we talked about, they're kind of like cousins. They mesh together, and great attitude really goes with positive expectation. But I have found personally that if I want to unlock the door to blessings, being grateful really helps.
Yes. It just makes you happy. Yes. If you can look at all the good things and you can be thankful for what you have instead of focusing on the bad things and the negative, which we all have.
Yes,
everybody goes
have.
Through negative. Yep. There's a lot of negativity going on. But if you can find the good in it, it just makes life so much easier.
You know, I will hear the shower and I will hear a voice coming out of the shower in our home, and it's someone saying what? Thank God for indoor plumbing.
Yes.
She's out loud. She's praying and she's saying this.
I always do. But when you've lived without that, you are grateful every day that you have it. I had an experience where I had to go a month without running water in my home. And it was back in the day, and it was in the winter. And I remember I had two little ones at home, and I had to figure out, how do you do this? So I took, and I went outside, and it had just snowed, and I brought in a whole bunch of snow, and I melted it down and put it in pans. I boiled it. I made sure that my kids could have baths, and I bought bottled water for drinking and whatnot, but I really was using the snow to keep the house clean, to keep the children clean, to God provides. And I was thankful for the snow. And I always said, I will never, ever overlook the blessings we have in our lives. Yeah. Every day we open our eyes. I mean, I turn on a light switch, the light comes on. I turn on the TV and I can watch something on there. I turn on the stove and I can cook. I can open the refrigerator and my water's cold. I'm very grateful for that. And gratitude is a great attitude. We can be grateful for everything.
You know, I need to bring this up quickly. During the time of challenging time in our country, and you probably know what we're talking about, there was this newsman talking to this guy on TV who was a pastor. And the pastor was saying, look, we need to find things to be grateful for as we're going through this. Yes, it's difficult. And he said, well, how do you tell people to be grateful when they're going through this and whatever? And he said, well, do they have a house to live in?
Yeah. Yep.
Check. Do you have a car? Yeah. Do you have food on your table? I get the point. We need to be grateful. Look at the things your grandparents' grandparents went through. Your grandparents' grandparents went through.
Exactly.
My goodness, they didn't have running water. They went to outhouses. Look that one up. Mm-hmm.
I think, though, even when I think about people who don't have all the things we have, and I see video of footage of kids in other countries that don't have running water,
absolutely,
that don't have the food they
absolutely
need, and they're running around, and they're happy, and they're playing, and because they're not thinking about, well, I don't have this, because
they don't
know.
Have, right.
They're just happy with what they have. They're
exactly
playing with a rock. They're
exactly
playing with a soccer ball,
exactly,
and that's what they're happy with. And so you can find happiness no matter where you are, and gratitude no matter where you are.
Right.
But you have to do it. Again, it's a choice.
Yep. Yeah. And you know, you may not be in the best place in your life, but you can find the best in that place.
Yeah.
And that's what happened when I was melting snow. I was grateful that I had water. It may have come from the source of snow, but God provided it.
Yeah.
You know, I had water.
Great discussion on that. The virtue of trustworthiness. Look, relationships are built on trust. And we talked about this during the principle of integrity, and you made a great point. You know, it helps that we got cred with people, some integrity cred with people. So when we mess up, it's good that I got cred with each of you. So when I messed up, so what we're really talking about is trust. And trust is so important,
yes,
in relationships. We want to hang around with people we trust, because we've all had experiences where people couldn't be trusted. And look, and I've been one of those people. you know, from that standpoint.
Trust. I think we've all did something that broke somebody's trust. I mean, that unfortunately, whether you try to or not, that happens once in a while. One thing in radio, if you're leaving a radio station, they don't let you stay typically because you're taking information out of that radio station that you could take somewhere else.
Right. Yeah.
All except one time that I've left a place, I have been allowed to work well past telling them I was going to leave.
Right.
Because they trusted me. They knew that I was going to do my job.
Right.
They knew I wasn't going to take information and give it to anybody else.
Right.
I had built that trust with those employers, and they allowed me to do things that never happens in radio.
No.
Never.
Yeah, no. Absolutely. We'll get to the seventh one here and we'll wrap. The virtue of loyalty. We want people around us who are loyalty. Both of you know my right-hand man, Mike Utek. One of the finest people in the world. I hope you all got a right-hand guy like Mike Utek who's there. Mike, we need a website.
Mike, he told a story to me the other day, which cracked me up. He's like, you know, Dayton, when you first came around, I didn't know what to think of you. I didn't know what you were in this for. I didn't know what you wanted out of this. But I have to change my mind and tell you, you keep showing up. So I think that's a good thing, and we have to trust you.
Exactly. And that's Mike's sense of humor, by the way. He's the one who keeps us light.
True.
But Mike is just an incredibly loyal person. Mike, we need a website. Okay, get some manual, starts a website. Mike, we need to do this. And if it weren't for Mike Utek, there would have been no leap of faith. God must be a Packer fan, because, you know, he found me a computer and a little floppy disk that I put that on there. But loyalty.
Loyalty. I have a friend that has been with me through thick and thin, and I mean thick, and I mean thin. I've gone through some things in the past few years that have been very tragic and very hard to go through, but this person has never, ever, ever left the friendship, left the relationship. I had phone calls, I had prayers, I had cards and letters from this person throughout the whole time. Good or bad, she's always there.
And we all need loyal people. Amen. Those are the seven virtues. Kindness, compassion, humility, forgiveness, gratitude, trustworthiness, and loyalty. This has been a wonderful time talking about virtues, because, again, you can take any of these that we have, the principles, the laws, the powers, and you can kind of intermingle all of them. But if you don't have doses of these, it's not going to work. So we thank you for joining us for this Peanut Butter Promise Power Encouragement Podcast. He's Dayton. This is my wife, Charlene. I'm Steve. Make it a great Peanut Butter Promise Day.